This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Standard Wartime, Saturday, January 23rd, 1943. This is Jack McKenna reminding you to buy war bonds. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with war correspondents from around the world via shortwave radio. In Duluth, Lou has news about that fire that destroyed the Duluth Athletic Club this morning. Ray Paulson will be in with the sporting news, and we'll have the best music of 1943. The news is sponsored by Sazner's Emporium, where you can buy men's overalls for $1.79 and welder's jackets for $8.95 for you shipyard workers. Now, Lou Martin with the Sazner Emporium 6 o'clock news, and good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, Jack, and good listeners. The British have kicked Rommel's tanks out of Tripoli. Jap resistance in Papua New Guinea has ended. And we begin our world roundup with war correspondent Wes Gallagher in Tripoli.
Mobile Allied headquarters in North Africa calling, Tripoli calling, Wes Gallagher reporting. The conquering British 8th Army wrested Tripoli from the Axis Saturday, and the conquest of Premier Mussolini's African Empire, which Prime Minister Churchill pledged in 1940 would be torn to shreds and tatters, was all but complete. Rear guards left behind by Marshal Erwin Rommel, who slowed the pursuit of his main forces into Tunisia, were overwhelmed, and the British took possession of the bustling city at 5 a.m., officials announced in Cairo. The Italian High Command communique broadcast later by the Rome radio said Axis troops evacuated the city and moved westward Friday night after fierce fighting. It said the motorized elements battled Friday south of the city, around which a wing of the 8th Army was swung to speed the chase. Berlin likewise officially acknowledged the loss of Tripoli. British War Secretary James Grigg, skipping the pending mop-up of the western reaches of Libya, said the fall of Tripoli completes the destruction of the Italian Empire in Africa. Both the Russian and British armies have had their dark days of retreats, he said. For both, we believe the tide is now firmly turned. In the destruction of the Italian Empire, the British have had the ungrudging help from American supplies, and the American Air Force is in the latest stage, but nevertheless, it has been overwhelmingly our show. Calling Moscow, come in, Henry Cassidy.
This is Moscow calling. Henry Cassidy, United Press Foreign Service reporting. Soviet troops smashing through German defense lines along the Minut waterway have captured the railroad center and air base 100 miles southeast of Rostock and dispersed fresh German troops, which for the time threatened to slow the Russian advance in southwestern sectors. The German defenses have failed to halt the Red Army any more than have the rear guard actions of Axis units in the Central Caucasus. And the Russian advance now is said to be proceeding in both the major sectors at a breathtaking pace. As the line of defense has straightened in that sector, Russian forces have reported to be encountering excessively stubborn resistance from German and Hungarian troops in these sectors. The week-long smash that resulted in piercing the German ring around Leningrad that has existed since August 1941 was the work of two Russian columns. Calling Allied headquarters in the South Pacific, calling New Guinea. Come in, Vern Hoglund.
Papua New Guinea calling, Vern Hoglund, your correspondent in South Pacific here. Organized Japanese resistance in Papua ended at 2.05 p.m. local time Friday when the last two remaining pockets of an enemy, which once numbered 15,000, were wiped out by victorious American and Australian forces. Last to fall was a group of Japs on the northwest coast of San Andana. Attacked in the early morning by Australians, the enemy resisted bitterly, but withdrew a short distance. Artillery and mortars softened the new defense, and an afternoon attack crumbled the enemy. 2 days ago, the Americans cleaned out the main Japanese pocket 2 miles from the coast along the Saputa Track using heavy artillery and mortar fire. A small unit was left on the north side of the track. A total of 475 dead were counted in that area. At 7 a.m. Friday, 33 Japanese members of this unit attempted to escape, and Americans killed 32 of them and imprisoned the remaining one. 14 Jap stragglers were killed in the south of Gona. As far as is known, the only remaining Japanese in Papua are the isolated soldiers wandering hopelessly in the swamps. These are being hunted down. Reporting from Papua New Guinea, this is Vern Hogland calling Daryl Berrigan.
Daryl Berrigan with the fighting men on the Sun and Under Front calling in the bivouac area. Men camped in a sea of mud after a night-long rain judged at 11 inches, almost one-tenth of this area's total annual rainfall. Private Peter Pacini of Farmington, Illinois, asked how he'd spent the night, replied cheerfully, "Oh, we were afraid for a while we were going to be attacked by Jap submarines, but I guess they couldn't make their way through the mud." Allied bombers, meanwhile, were reported to have struck another heavy blow at Japanese shipping in the harbor of Rabaul, New Britain, sinking four vessels totaling 24,000 tons in a low-level dawn attack. With the Allied forces on the Sun and Under Front, this is your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, United Press Foreign Service.
The picture of American soldiers fighting in the hell hold of the Pacific was left in the minds of Detroit war industry workers in Detroit. They were listening to the war hero of World War I and World War II, Flying Ace Eddie Rickenbacker. Captain Rickenbacker was cheered by war workers as he toured plants calling for more production. He also urged industry leaders to remember the men and women serving overseas. They must have jobs for them when they return home after the war. This announcement from Washington, the demand for more men in the service means married men will be drafted for the first time starting in March. The Selective Service will take married men without children. Sassner's Emporium News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna with a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Sassner's Emporium, quality clothing for men, women, and children. At 1017 to 1019 Tower Avenue in Superior. Women's coats on sale now, $12.50, $17.50, and $22.50. Fur coats as low as $59.50. The January clearance snow togs of Missy snowsuits, $6.95, $9.95, and $14.95. Wools, gabardines, and lambskins. Skirts, sweaters, it's all there for you folks. And men's work clothes, not to be denied. Overalls $1.79. Wool work caps $1. And welder's jackets for those shipyard workers $8.95. That's the great bargains you'll find at the January clearance at Sassner's Emporium. Quality clothing for men, women, and children, 1017 Tower Avenue.
The four-story Duluth Club building, a total loss after a fire destroyed it this morning. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports the fire quickly spread beyond the point of no return.
Firemen believe the blaze began around 11:45 Friday night, with the first alarm at the fire department coming 12 minutes later. A 4:11 alarm was received at fire department headquarters at 8 minutes past midnight for more equipment. Still not enough. As the fire spread to the upper floors, a 6:11 alarm was issued, which calls out the entire fire department, including off-duty men. Firemen fought gallantly through sub-zero weather, smoke, flames, and thick icing of equipment, but the fire was not to be contained. The building at 4th Avenue West and 1st Street is a total loss, with the roof collapsed and only blackened walls left standing in the smoldering ruins. This is the worst fire since last February, when Great Northern's Elevator X burned. Damage is assessed at $150,000 to the building and $50,000 for its content. Burroughs Adding Machine Company and Prior Abstract were also located in the Athletic Club building. They don't know yet what caused this catastrophe, Lou. It's believed to have started in a basement cloakroom.
It's too bad the building couldn't have been saved.
By the time it got going, it was just too dangerous for firemen to knock down. They did a great job containing it. At one point, the neighboring Duluth Herald and News Tribune was threatened, and across the street, City Hall was in the line of fire.
Well, thank you, Mike. Our extremely cold weather has taken the life of a 78-year-old Wentworth man. Chris Peterson was found unconscious in an unheated room of his home on his farm on Tuesday. Last night, Mr. Peterson passed away at St. Francis Hospital in Superior. He had regained consciousness for a short time on Thursday. Northern Wisconsin's Congressman Alvin Okonski has been appointed to the House Labor and Pensions Committee. This is Republican Okonski's first term in office. An Ashland man who was part of a bombing group in Britain has been awarded the Purple Heart. Lieutenant Wilbur Smith of 1014 7th Avenue West was wounded during a bombing mission over France. The raid was apparently a difficult one, since Lieutenant Smith is one of 15 men in that raid who is getting the Purple Heart. Lieutenant Smith is the son of Mr. and Mrs. W.C. Smith of Ashland. A few surviving men from Wisconsin who fought in the Civil War in the Grand Army of the Republic will be the guests of Superior this summer. For the first time since 1900, Superior will host the Boys in Blues Convention on June the 13th through the 16th.
Using my old Dentfield High School math, let's see, that war ended 78 years ago. I'm doing better now than I did in school. These old boys have to be at least 95 years old.
It'll be different from 1900, when they were 43 years younger. Most of them were in their 50s and 60s. They stayed in the West Superior Hotel, sang old Civil War fife and bugle songs. They had bands marching up and down Tower Avenue under the great steel arch that used to be downtown. The steel arch was erected to honor the Grand Army of the Republic.
Someday there will be no more eyewitnesses to that terrible war, Lou, between the states. Hard to imagine. Thanks, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news. Folks, get those muffs and hand warmers out. The weatherman says it's going to continue to be cold this weekend. The forecast from the U.S. Weather Bureau for this Saturday night, January the 23rd, 1943, calls for 20 below zero temperatures tonight and cold again tomorrow. So, what else is new? That means it's a good time to check in on your neighbors. Make sure they are doing okay and have enough coal to keep the house heated. We don't want any more tragedies out there, especially if you know an older person who lives alone. Bring over a loaf of fresh, warm bread. That'll make their day. In fact, my favorite is fresh pumpernickel, ladies, but I don't think I qualify age-wise. It's a Saturday night. That means, of course, it's a good time for oldies. Let's start out with some of the stuff from those days of flappers and bathtub gin. From the Roaring Twenties, Let's Twist a Leg, to the California Ramblers featuring the Dorsey Brothers from 1925, Charleston. Thank you. quirky, fun music of the Roaring Twenties. That's the California Ramblers with Red Nichols and the Dorsey Brothers on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUWS. Nothing like playing old records on a cold January Saturday night, eh, friends?
We've got Only Lane from Duluth waiting, Jack.
Hey, bring in Only Lane. He's the original Finn, don't you know? While Lewis gets Oney, I'd like to tell listeners about the best place for hams, bacon, and lard. That kind of sounds like our radio booth here, Lou. You know the place, Elliott and Company, operating in West Duluth. You'll like Zenith brand meats, and farmers bring them your stock. They pay market prices at Elliott and Company. For folks with hungry automobiles, remember to say, fill her up with Tidal High Test. And smile at miles. With rationing and trying to get every mile out of your gas tank, be sure to choose Tidal High Test Gasoline by Northwestern Oil Company, 217 Tower Avenue in Superior. Well, Lou?
It's not like him to just disappear.
Not like Oney to be shy or anything. Maybe after this number we can find Oney Lane, our favorite Finn. Let's hear the fun tones of the Roaring Twenties. Here's Gene Golkett and his orchestra from 1926 on KUWS with Sunday. Enjoyed the hot time in the old town tonight music, folks. That's of Gene Golkett with vocals by the Kelly Sisters and Al Lynch on station KUWS.
I've found Only Lane, Jack. He's got a few words against the Duluth Finnish Women's Club for us tonight.
Oh, sure. We want to make the fine, lovely Finnish women of Duluth mad at us, eh, Lou?
Well, it's not like that, Jack. Good evening, Mr. Only Lane of Duluth.
Mr. Martin. Favorite among the propaganda tricks by the Finnish communists are the insurance of resolutions by non-existent organizations. having people who are illiterate in English sign high-sounding letters to the editors, portending to speak on behalf of all the Finns throughout Duluth Finnish Women's Club. Their latest fiasco is calling of a meeting of the Finnish American Trade Union and trying to hoodwink public officials and other prominent people into taking part in it. The communists declare that they are going to line up the Finnish Americans behind the war effort. But the Finns don't need any lining up. They have been lined up since Pearl Harbor. Finnish communities work for the Red Cross. We buy war bonds, and we and our sons are in the war, and many have already fallen, I'm sorry to say. All this and much more is being done by the Finns quietly and without ballyhoo. The Finns resent now, and will always resent, being lined up by the communists.
Thank you, Mr. Oney Lane.
We must remember, Mr. Martin, even though the great nation of Finland is fighting against these Soviets, we're big on democracy and not so big on Nazis. Just that Uncle Joe Stalin attacked us, you'll recall.
All right, then, Mr. Oney Lane.
Those darned Reds.
It's your turn, Jack.
I just like the way he talks, Lou. All right, friends and Finns, let's roll on with another favorite from the Roaring Twenties, and then we'll be back with Ray's Sports. Here's Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers from 1926 and the Black Bottom Stomp on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUWS.
Oh, yeah,
That's the wonderful music of Jelly Roll. Oh, forget it. I can't talk like Oni. Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers and Black Bottom Stompers or Stomps or something. Anyway, they were on station KUWS.
Better not do that at the finish hall, Jack. Those Finns are pretty proud and might not understand your little imitation.
If that's what you want to call it, I'd like to hear you do a little finish.
Jack, boy, you know Rapid Ray only does big finishes.
Oh, boy. Got me there, fella. Now, here's Rapid Ray, sans accent, Paulson, with the sporting news.
Now, that's a big start, folks. Stand by for the big news tonight. But first, let's look at local hoops. The matchup between arch rivals Bayfield and Washburn ended in a W for the boys of Bayfield, 37-20. Led by Myers, Bellinger, and Hebert, the Quints rolled over Washburn, even though the Baysiders jumped out to an early lead. DePadua and Ashland were winners last night, too. Led by Botch, Dufek, and Gervais, the Bruins of DePadua copped a 29-17 win over Mellon. The Pure Golders of Ashland took it to Hurley, 41-29. Drummond Center, Dallas, and Josephson led the home team to a victory over Ondosigan, 48-29. In Duluth, the big grudge match put Denfeld on top of Central's Men of Troy at the Hunter's Gym. This big upset over the head of the Lakes Conference leader was led by Jim Young. This is the first setback in 9 games for Duluth Central. And the travel-weary Superior East Club took it on the chin in lacrosse. The Orientals were paced by Eddie Kosick with 11 points, but it wasn't enough for Coach Gordon Barr's team. They fell 37-26 to the Downstaters. Superior Cathedral's Panthers dropped a heartbreaker to the Vikings of Superior Central. Harry Conley's Cagers prevailed 31-26 in last night's action. Chuck Billmeyer and Art Bradall led the way for the Vikings. But the big, and I mean big, story of the night is a cage doubleheader at the Superior State Gym. One of the best basketball attractions for one of the best causes pits the Duluth Coast Guard against the Butler Shipyard Quints. That starts at 7:30. After that, it's the Superior State Yellow Jackets against the Duluth Junior College Blue Jays. And oh, what a matchup that will be, sport fans. Now, who could forget Mutt Muller and Don Mackey? How about Peanuts Drown and Petey Schultz? All of Yellow Jacket fame now playing for Butler. The Jackets have a problem of their own. 3 of their ranks have entered the armed services in the last 10 days. So it's up to Chick Urbaniak, Tuffy Titus, Petey Zadko, and Jim Martinson to pull the loads. And fans of the sporting world, this hoops doubleheader is for the best of causes. Money will go for the Superior Servicemen's Center. It'll be a haven for sailors, Marines, soldiers, and Coast Guard men who pass through Superior.
That Serviceman's Center is a real humdinger, Ray. They've got it all there.
Oh, you bet. Lunches, reading material, typewriters and stationery, free tickets for local sporting events, and free long-distance phone calls. Not bad. Agnes Wenzel and Lillian Ealing help keep things going. It's at 1013 Tower Avenue. You know, Jack, even the basketball refs are donating their fees to the center.
As long as they can see where to sign their checks over. That's it, Ray?
That's it.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, that's it.
No, no, no.
Oh, right. Remember, everybody loves a good sport.
Now, do it again, but this time with a sass.
And remember, fans, everyone loves a good sport.
Now, thank you. On with the music, because everyone likes a good tune. From the rip-roaring 20s, let's enjoy Roll On Mississippi by Gus Arnheim and his orchestra on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUWS. Thank you.
with the Pepper Land. Come on, you lazy steamer, move on. Clear that river, here we come. Watch that boat, boy. Hear that engine hum, and Lord, take a look at that shore. Soon I'll be with the boat outdoors.
That stuff from the 20s, hot dog. That's Gus Arnheim and his orchestra, vocal by George Gramlich. Roll on, Mississippi, on station KUWS, of course. Remember, Lou? That's the music we played on the radio when we first started 20 years ago. People weren't even sure radio would be around to stay.
Well, it's a good thing for us that it did. What else would we do?
Well, I suppose we could always sell ham, bacon, and pork sausage and lard and all. Everything else is a lot of work, Lou.
Well, the good thing is that we get the word out about things like that basketball doubleheader for the Superior Servicemen Center.
And you get out all that important war news we need to hear. You can't get that in Berlin or Tokyo.
Which leaves me with one more announcement for the war effort, good listeners. E.B. Swenson of Washburn is leading the tin can salvage drive, and tin cans are piling up at the local Bayfield County schools. Bring your tin cans to the DuPont Elementary School. That's the old Pioneer School. Also, the Ice House of Mason Mercantile and the Keystone Ino Store.
Good, Lou. Stay tuned for Ina Ray Hutton's orchestra, the American Eagle Club in London, and Know Your Enemy. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, of course. For Lou Martin and Ray Paulson, then, we'll see you at tonight's basketball game, the big one. This is Jack McKenna speaking and wishing you a pleasant good night.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by John Munsell, Don Mason, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.